Well, Brad, our topic, very timely. We're in tax season, and we hear a lot about identity theft. Did a news story saying that ID theft really was at an all-time high last year. When we say identity theft, can you just kind of define that for us? What in the world is it?
Yeah, identity theft is just purely when somebody takes your personal identifying information, so maybe your Social Security number, a credit card, something like that that is your identity, and uses it without your permission to commit fraud or some other form of crime.
And when they do this, I mean, I'm sure it can be a nightmare. We have a coworker here who kind of had the same situation, trying to get a refund, found out, oh my goodness, somebody else has already claimed my refund. So you kind of are going through a series of things that can be a little bit frustrating. But how can we manage the risk? What can we do to protect ourselves?
Yeah, so manage the risk is kind of the key word there. We're never going to be able to eliminate the risk completely. We live in a world, our information is out there, so it is that question of how do we manage it, how do we reduce our risk exposure. So, you know, first and foremost, we have to look at who can possibly get our information, and that can be anywhere from a friend, a relative, somebody that finds themselves in a desperate situation, to more of the corporate criminal, I'll call it, you know, the people that are doing the data breaches that are going after information in corporate databases, or even running these email phishing scams where they're trying to pull information out of you as an individual. So we have to just be careful of what we're putting out there. So first and foremost is our Social Security number. And I know when I go to the doctor, or you know, it seems like every form anymore still has a place for your Social Security number. So typically, I'm not going to fill that in unless they specifically tell me that they absolutely have to have it, because the less places I can put my Social Security number out there, the safer I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. Also, I highly recommend that people run their credit report through annualcreditreport.com. We have access to our free credit reports, one from each of the three agencies out there. So we can run those at multiple times during the year, because we have three of them, so we have one from each agency that we can run for free. I find more benefit, especially if you think you are at risk, to spread those out so that we run one now, and if everything looks clean, maybe three to 6 months from now, we run one of the other ones, and just make sure that we're not seeing any kind of fraudulent activity or accounts that are showing up on our credit reports.
Mm-hmm.
Always keeping track of our bank accounts and our credit card statements. Are we actually taking the time to balance our checkbook? Are we looking at what's hitting our credit card statements? Because we want to make sure that there's not unauthorized charges that are showing up on there. And the big one for me is passwords, making sure that we have good, sophisticated passwords that are not easy to guess. And I was like asking in our classes, what's the most important password that you have? And you'll get a variety of answers, but you know, probably the most important password that we put out there is our email password.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, what's the way to reset our passwords on most of our accounts? It's have it emailed to us. So if somebody gets access to our email account, they can start going in and finding our other financial accounts, resetting passwords by having them emailed to them, and suddenly they've got control of a lot of our other financial accounts. So we need to make sure that we're keeping those complex, not using the word password as a password, not
right,
using 1234 as a password, and you know, using a mixture of letters, numbers, symbols, things that are not going to be easy for somebody to guess.
So it sounds like when we want to manage our risk, we want to, first of all, protect our Social Security number, make sure we're checking on that credit history, because that's really important. And you mentioned annualcreditreport.com, annualcreditreport.com.
That's the official site.
The official site to kind of help get us through that. What about freezing our credit? Is that a possibility, too, if we see a red flag?
Absolutely. Credit freezes are one of the great free methods that we have to kind of lock down our credit and lock down our identity, because we can go online, we can go to each of the credit agencies, and we can freeze our credit, which means that unless we go in and unlock it, nobody can run a credit report on us. And so if somebody wants to go open up a new credit card account with our identity, the credit card company is going to try to run our credit, and they're going to notice that there's a freeze, and they can't do it, so then they won't open the account. So it's kind of the good and the pros and the cons of the credit freeze are the exact same thing, and that is it's hard to get access to our credit. So if we're wanting to go open an account, we have to manually go in, unfreeze it, and apply, let the people run our credit report, and then put the freeze back on. It's a little bit of a process, but it does lock down our credit. So if we're not applying for something, somebody else can't go apply for something in our name.
You know, the other thing, too, we're talking with Brad Graber. He's our financial advisor, joins us every Tuesday, 7:30. And you can check out his information, great stuff, at investingintruth.com. One of the things, I think we have to be wise, don't we, Brad, not be naive, because sometimes we'll get things in our email that say, we've got this inheritance from some relative you don't know, and or you've won the lottery that you never played, and so on and so forth.
It's amazing that those things still work, but we have to talk about them because they do. And, yeah, it's amazing. If we don't have reason to believe that we're entitled to whatever it is that they're telling us, then there's no reason to go any farther with it. We need to just get rid of it. Or, you know, if there is a question. So, you know, one of the things that's really popular out there is for people to impersonate your financial institution. And they'll even send you a link in the email, and it'll tell you to click on this link to, you know, verify your information or whatever. And you click on that link, and it takes you to, even if you look at the address in the address bar on your internet, it looks like it's the legit thing. But there's something different about it that's not taking to you to the institution. It's taking you to a fake website where they're just asking you to enter in information, and then they have it. So if you get something that you think might be legitimate, don't click on the link. Don't call the phone number that somebody gives you. Hang up or go out of your email and go to the contact information that you know is legitimate. Call your bank branch or call your credit card company with the number that's on the card. Or if you've got a link to, you know, if you need to go online, go to the online address that you know is legitimate. And by doing that, you'll reach the financial institution and they can validate whether it's actually something that needs to be done or whether it was a scam.
If we do have identity theft take place, what do we do? Do we call our credit card companies, the IRS, the police? What do we do?
I would always start with whatever is being affected.
Okay.
So, you know, I've had situations where people had their tax returns stolen in the mail, and the first place for them to go was actually to the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it may be the IRS, it may be the police, it may be the credit card company, it may be your bank. I would always start wherever the problem is identified at. Let them help you walk through the process. But number one, you're letting them know that the problem exists with whatever that account is. So they can put a hold on it. They can shut down the account, whatever needs to happen immediately to lock it down and prevent any future damages. But then they can help walk you through what further steps need to take place.
Well, identity theft, we want to be careful and just take some precautions to do the best we can to avoid it. The good news is Christ followers, Brad, I guess, is our eternal identity is safe and secure.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes we talk about these things and it's easy to, you know, to have our mood affected by a fallen world. But always remembering that our identity is in Christ and it's safe and secure, that's what we can take comfort in.